Well, we are continuing this morning with our study of the Ten Commandments, so if you want to turn to Exodus chapter 20. At this point, we are focusing on the fourth commandment, which tells us to keep the Sabbath, to remember the Sabbath day, to keep it holy. The Ten Commandments as a whole are a summary of God's moral law. So they sum up for us the things that are right and the things that are wrong. And one of the purposes of the law is to show us our sin. I mean, it gives us God's standard of what is righteous and then shows us the places where we don't measure up to that standard. The law does that for everybody. It exposes our sin. It exposes how we don't really measure up to what God has required. But not everybody is accountable to the law in the same way. Our relationship to the law varies. For those who are not Christians, which we all begin this way, obviously, but for those who are not Christians, the law shows them that they fall far short of what their Creator requires. It highlights the areas of disobedience to God. And that also means it highlights the fact that we are under God's justice, which means we're under His condemnation. I mean, there's consequences for disobeying God's law. And that condemnation, of course, ultimately leads to eternal destruction away from the presence of the Lord in hell. And it shows that there is a great need of a Savior. Well, for those who already have Jesus Christ as their Savior, the law serves a different purpose. It still shows us how far short we fall of God's righteousness. It still shows us that we deserve God's condemnation for our disobedience. But our response really should be different. First off, when we are convicted of sin and falling short of God's law, we need to admit that sin to the Lord, that we have fallen short. And by His grace, repent of that sin. And then we must go to Christ. Or as a part of this, we do this while going to Christ. We have to remember that Jesus Christ, our Savior, lived a perfectly righteous life according to the law. And we remember because since we have put our faith in Christ, that perfect righteousness of Christ has been put to our account. So in Christ, we stand perfectly righteous before God. We have to keep that in mind as we consider the law. We also remind ourselves that Jesus Christ suffered the condemnation that we deserve for our sin when He died on the cross. So therefore, in Christ, those who are Christians, there is no condemnation whatsoever for those who are Christians. We got to keep that in mind too as we consider the law. And then again, you remind yourself that Jesus Christ, yes, He's my Savior, but He's also my Lord. So we ask for God's help to honor His law as His servant. Now, let me mention something here that is really important, but it's so easy to get this mixed up, and I don't know if I'll just try to explain it. It's really important that we go to Christ when we recognize how we have fallen short of God's law. In other words, here's what you do not do. You do not say, I admit that I've sinned, and I'm going to do better tomorrow. That's not what you do. Because when you do that, that's walking by the flesh. It puts you in position to boast before God if you do happen to do better tomorrow. That's wrong. So, yes, we go to Christ as we confess our sin, and we remember what He has done on our behalf. And then we repent in dependence on Christ to enable us to honor God by honoring His law. In other words, you can't leave Christ out of the equation. You can't say, I've done bad, I'll do better. That's leaving Christ out. That's not the way to do it. Christ has to be the in between, or the kind of the center of that whole transaction. I've done wrong, I need to do better, but only in Christ is my only hope. So let me remind you of the commandments that we've considered to this point. The first commandment tells us that there is only one God, only one true God, and that one true God must be our God. It is wrong to serve any other God or so-called God. The second commandment tells us how we're supposed to worship the one true God. We are not to worship Him with images. Instead, we're to worship as He commands. We worship Him in spirit and in truth. The third commandment commands us not to take the name of the Lord our God in vain. So we are not to use his name lightly or inappropriately in our words or our actions of our life in any way. In other words, we are to reverence the name of God. The fourth commandment we've been looking at for a couple weeks now. We have seen several things to this point. We have seen that the reason we're to keep the Sabbath day holy is because God himself created the world in 6 days and then rested on the seventh day himself. And so the Lord set aside then the seventh day as a day that's to be kept as holy. Now for the people of the Old Testament, that one day in seven was Saturday. But for the people of the New Testament, that day is Sunday. That's because the Lord Jesus Christ arose from the dead on Sunday. So for us, Sunday is the Christian Sabbath. Now we're also reminded that the Sabbath is not only a reminder to us of God the Creator, it is that, created 6 days, rested on the seventh, but it's also a reminder that God is our Redeemer. Because when we look at the Deuteronomy version of the Ten Commandments, where Moses was repeating the law to remind the people of Israel, and that repetition of the fourth commandment, instead of making a direct reference to God as a creator and then the seventh day of rest, he makes a direct connection with God's deliverance of the Egyptians from slavery and reminding them that God is the one who brought them out by a mighty hand and an outstretched arm. And so they said, because of that, you should keep the Sabbath day holy. In other words, remember, use the Sabbath day as a reminder that you have been delivered. You have been given liberty, set free. And of course, that fits exactly well as we think about the New Testament emphasis of the Sabbath, because the slavery that we are under is the slavery to sin. And the freedom that we get is the freedom that comes from salvation in Christ. And so there definitely needs to be an aspect of remembering the Sabbath day that focuses on our deliverance from sin in Christ. Now, what we're going to focus on today is how do we go about keeping the Sabbath day holy, like the commandment says we're supposed to. So, Exodus 20, I'm going to read verses 8 through 11. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath of the Lord your God. In it you shall not do any work, you or your son or your daughter, your male or female servant, or your cattle, or your sojourner who stays with you. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea and all that is in them, and rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. The first thing I want to mentioned this morning is some basic reasons on why it's so important for us to think seriously about what it means to keep the Sabbath day holy. So our first point this morning is that the Sabbath commandment should be seen as a serious law to be kept and a great blessing to be enjoyed. The Sabbath commandment is just that. It's a commandment. It's a law. It's something that the Lord our God requires. So it's not optional for anyone. One of the things that heightens that reality is this next point. Though the particular Sabbath laws given to Israel no longer apply, the fact that Sabbath breaking was a capital offense tells us the seriousness of keeping the Sabbath, the Lord's Day, holy. So let me remind you of a very important truth here. As we said earlier, the Ten Commandments is the summary of God's moral law. Well, since they're a summary of God's moral law, they are expressions of God's righteousness. God's righteousness does not change because God does not change. So that means the command to keep the Sabbath day holy is an unchangeable command. But there are particular applications that are oftentimes attached to God's righteous law, to God's moral law. And by God's decree, those particular applications can change. So, in the case of the Sabbath commandment, the basic commandment is that all people are to keep one day in seven as a day holy unto the Lord. For the nation of Israel, the particular application of that one day in seven was that it was to be the seventh day of the week, or Saturday. Well, in the new covenant, the coming of Jesus Christ changed that. He accomplished our salvation by his life, his death, his resurrection. And the very fact that the Lord of all was resurrected on Sunday changed the particular application of Sabbath observance to Sunday instead of Saturday. And it will remain Sunday until Jesus Christ returns. So that means that the Saturday observance and all the particulars associated with the Saturday observance of the among the Israelites really no longer apply to us. The particulars have changed, even though the law remains the same. The moral law remains the same. But still, we can learn from those things, some of those particulars. It's important to recognize what the consequence was for breaking the Sabbath commandment. A few chapters over in Exodus chapter 31, verse 14, here's what it says. Therefore you are to observe the Sabbath, for it is holy to you. Everyone who profanes it shall surely be put to death. For whoever does any work on it, that person shall be cut off from among his people. So breaking the Sabbath required the death penalty. I mean, that's probably about as serious as you can get. As how, you know, the consequences were death if you broke the Sabbath. Well, that shows us the seriousness of the Sabbath commandment as a law. Another way that we kind of see that same kind of seriousness is that we read in Ezekiel, for example, that one of the reasons that the Lord chose to destroy Jerusalem was, this is when the Babylonians came and destroyed Jerusalem and the people were taken into exile and so forth. The Lord says one of the reasons he's doing that is because the priest ignored his Sabbaths. And because his Sabbaths were ignored, the nation, Jerusalem, was going to be destroyed. Again, pretty significant consequence for not keeping the Sabbath day holy. So we learn from those things and things like that, that the Sabbath commandment is a serious commandment of God. Therefore, it should be a serious commandment to us. We can't please God and ignore the fourth commandment. But we need to balance that with this next statement. The Lord promises great blessing to those who keep the Lord's day holy. He promises great blessing. Yes, it's a command, but it's a gloriously beautiful command. Exodus 20, verse 11 tells us that the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. So the condemnation of God is associated with ignoring the Sabbath day, but we must quickly add that the blessing of God is associated with keeping the Sabbath day holy. I mean, there's any number of things we could say here, and we'll hit a lot of this as we go, but there's the blessing of having time of physical rest. There's a blessing of remembering that that rest reminds us of our Creator and His creation. Blessing of remembering that we are delivered from sin by the Lord Jesus Christ. The blessing of worshiping our Lord, not just by yourself, but with fellow believers. And we'll speak more of some of those things later, like I said. But in general, we must never forget the Lord has promised blessing in keeping the Sabbath day. So don't see it as a laborious command that you have to obey, even though you hate every minute of it. I mean, see it as a path to great joy. That's true of the fourth commandment. But actually, it's true of all the commandments. I mean, should we complain about having to keep the first commandment of having only one God? Isn't that kind of intolerant? I mean, no, we rejoice over the fact that the Lord is our God. Do we complain about the fact that God says, don't worship me with images? That's wrong. No, we rejoice in the fact that we're able to get great joy in worship as we worship in spirit and in truth. Do we complain because the Lord won't let us take His name in vain? We really want to take His name in vain. No, we rejoice in the fact that we have the opportunity as His children to reverence His name, to honor His name. The same thing is true about the Sabbath day. It's not meant as a drudgery. It is meant as a means of great blessing. I really appreciate Thomas Watson's comments on this. quote on your outline. It says, we should look upon this day as the best day in the week. I got that phrase on my business card. Sunday, the best day of the week, from Thomas Watson. The Sabbath is the market day of the soul, the cream of time. It's the best day in the week. The Lord created all the days of the week, but it's only the Sabbath day on which he pronounced a blessing. And I love how the fact that he not only says it's the best day of the week, he says it's like the market day for your soul. We don't usually see market day in the same way they would have seen it, but I mean, you have days where you go to the market, you go to shop, you go to buy things that you need, things that you want. I mean, markets are really helpful things. A lot of times our market may be on the internet, but we have market days to actually get those things that we need. The Sabbath, Sunday, is the market day for your soul. That's where you get the things you need for your inner man, for your spirit, for your walk with the Lord. It's a market day. He says it's the cream of time. I mean, it's right at the top. It's the best. So yes, the Sabbath commandment is a serious law that must be kept. But it's also a great blessing to be enjoyed. And we have to keep those things in mind as we think about keeping the Sabbath day holy. So our second main point this morning is this. The Lord's Day is to be kept as a day of rest from the usual work of the other days of the week. Again, I'll read verses 9 and 10. It says, 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath of the Lord your God. In it you shall do no work, you nor your son nor your daughter nor your male or female servant or your cattle or your sojourner who stays with you. So a very important aspect of keeping the Sabbath day is rest. The word Sabbath itself means to cease or to rest from labor. And of course, the Sabbath day itself is tied to the fact that God rested from his work of creating the heavens and the earth. So to keep the Christian Sabbath, we have to seriously consider, what does it mean to rest? I mean, the work that we have to do varies among us. I mean, some of it's the same, but lots of it varies and has a lot of differences. I mean, some of it has to do with the work that you have to do to maintain or keep your home or your place that you live. Some of it has to do with job responsibilities that may be outside of the home. Some of it has to do with studies, if you're a student, and responsibilities of things like that you do during the week. So to keep the Sabbath day as a day of rest involves seeking to have a day of rest from the usual activities of the other 6 days. So as we consider that, several things we need to know. First one is this. Keeping the Lord's day as a day of rest requires thoughtful planning for the other 6 days of the week. Lord, this is what the Lord is saying when he says, 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord your God, and in it you shall do no work. He's saying, plan the other 6 days in such a way that you can have a Sabbath rest on the seventh. It's going to take planning. You're going to have to think about it. I mean, having a day of rest from your usual work is not going to happen without planning for it. Even if your job doesn't require you to work on Sunday, there's responsibilities around the house and in the yard that never go away. They're always there. So it takes planning to try to get those done on one of the other 6 days of the week. You have to think about it. One thing I should mention here, the commandment itself seems to recognize that there's going to be some things, especially household kind of things, that are probably going to still have to be done on Sunday in some sense. I don't know if you notice this or not, but when the Lord lists all of those who should do no work, he leaves someone out. The wife, the mother, is not listed. I don't exactly know why. Just to be honest, I don't really know why that's the case. What I do not think, and I'm sure of this, it doesn't mean that everybody else rests and she does all the work all day long. It does not mean that. What I think it might mean, I think there may be an implication here. I mean, basically it was the wife who would normally take care of some of the basic household needs, or at least delegated or see that those kind of things were done. And so there, and so by leaving that her name off may be a recognition there's going to be certain household kind of things that still need to be done. But again, don't take it to mean that the wife, the mom, is the only one that can do those things. Others in the household are just as responsible. It's just admitting, I think, that there are some things that are just recognized that are probably going to keep happening on Sunday. Kevin DeYoung recently wrote a book about the Ten Commandments, and he talked about how he tried to keep this commandment while he was in college. And he says he worked really hard at trying to get all of his assignments and studying done on the other days of the week. And he did this, he said, so that he truly could have a day of rest from schoolwork on Sunday. He then could use it to read or do something different from his usual course load. I wish I could say that I did the same. I didn't, at least not like I should have. But DeYoung says that Sundays for him truly became the day that he looked forward to more than any other day of the week. He looked forward to Sunday. It truly was a market day for his soul. So just the whole idea here is that keeping the Lord's Day as a day of rest is going to require planning. You're going to have to think about it. You're going to have to plan how that can happen. With that in mind, we also need to remember this next point. Recognize that there's going to be exceptions that interrupt the day of rest, but the goal of rest should still be pursued. There's going to be exceptions that interrupt. Jesus pointed this out to the Pharisees when they chastised him for healing a man on the Sabbath day. One of those places in Matthew chapter 12, I'll just read a few verses here, 9 through 12. Departing from there, Jesus went into their synagogue, and a man was there whose hand was withered. And they questioned Jesus, asking, "Is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath?" So that they might accuse him. And he said to them, "What man is there among you who has a sheep, and if it falls into a pit on the Sabbath, will he not take hold of it and lift it out? How much more valuable then is a man than a sheep? So then it is lawful to do good on the Sabbath." So Jesus here affirms that if one of their animals... they were a more agrarian society. If one of their animals fell into a ditch, it was natural, and for the animal's safety and health and well-being and so forth, to help the animal get out of the ditch, even if that was on Sunday. And Jesus says that's not breaking the Sabbath. So there's time, and what he was doing was doing good. But basically the idea here is there is times that we have things that we simply have to do on the Lord's Day, even though we would rather not have to do it on the Lord's Day. There's going to be those kind of things that happen. But the point I'm trying to make is those exceptions should not become the rule for us. I mean, if you're finding exceptions every Sunday, it's no longer an exception. It's become the rule. The rule should be, I'm seeking to keep the Sabbath day holy, which includes rest. Now, we also have to recognize this. That gets even more complicated when you're in an industrialized nation like we live in. It becomes more complicated to take a day of rest off from work. Of course, there's always going to be an ongoing need for medical personnel of various sorts to be on call, you know, to work at different times. There's still going to be a need for law enforcement. There's still going to be a need for people who work to keep electricity, phones working, things like that. Ministers have a number of job responsibilities on Sunday. And sometimes your job actually requires you to work on Sunday. Well, I know that's a hard and frustrating thing when that happens. If you can arrange to have Sunday off, I think you should try to do that. It may come to the place that you need to look for another job possibility. If there just seems to be no way out of working on Sunday, it may mean another job needs to be considered. But these kinds of things make it really challenging to have Sunday as a day of rest from usual work. Another complication in our day is that Sunday has become really the common day for youth sports teams to play their games. It wasn't like that when I was growing up. but it's become very common now. I know we had to deal with this, as I'm sure many of you have had to deal with this as well, trying to figure out how do we handle this? What do we do with this? Sometimes I was successful a few times at getting the games moved off of Sunday morning. Sometimes we just let the team know that our child wasn't going to be playing on Sunday morning. I don't know that we always made the right choice, to be honest, but we tried. So I know there's challenges there. And in that regard, I want to mention something. Be charitable to each other. Because we're all under the obligation to keep the Sabbath day as a day of rest. But there's going to be differences in how we make those decisions. There's going to be, and our situations are not all the same. So be charitable. Give each other some space that somebody else's choice may not mirror yours. But we still have to keep in mind that whatever we're still responsible for pursuing that day of rest. But no matter what complications we encounter, we never give up on keeping the Lord's Day as a day of rest. It's a command. And like I said, it's also a blessing. We need it. There's another very important aspect to keeping the Sabbath day holy. Number three, the Lord's Day is to be kept as a day of delighting in the Lord. A day of delighting in the Lord. Isaiah 58 speaks of considering the Sabbath a delight, and more specifically, of taking delight in the Lord himself. Of course, the commandment itself says, keep the day holy. It's a day set aside by the Lord for the Lord. That speaks of worship. And then, of course, when we come to the New Testament, Sunday is the day in which the Christians gather together to worship the Lord. So keeping the Sabbath holy must include worship as well as rest. So, first, it is a day for worship, both private and with fellow Christians. It's a day for worship. I mean, rest and worship go together. I mean, it only makes sense if you're going to go to have a day in which believers in local churches gather together to worship. That, by definition, is going to be different than the other days of the week. Some changes are going to have to be made. So rest and worship really kind of go together as far as that's concerned. The Sabbath command is a command to be taken individually. First off, it's a command to you, it's a command to me. So we are called personally to keep the day holy. That will include our own personal times of prayer, reading the Word, reading Christian books. But there's a personal application to that. But the Sabbath command, especially when we consider how the Lord's Day was observed by the early church, also involves times of worship with fellow Christians in our churches. And as we said at the beginning, that is truly a command of God. But it's also a command with great blessing tied to it. So having a day of worship should be a time we look forward to, and we should truly see it, I think like Thomas Watson said, as the best day of the week. But if we're going to experience the Lord's blessings, here are some things we need to do. So point B, to enjoy the Lord's Day, there is a need for preparation to make the most of Sunday worship. I mean, we got to make preparation if we're going to have any sort of day of rest on Sunday. But you also have to make preparation if it's going to be a day of worship. There is still preparation to be made. Many of the early Baptists, they took this so seriously that they would have Saturday evening services. And the Saturday evening service was not as an alternative to going to church on Sunday. Saturday evening service, they would meet to prepare themselves for Sunday worship. To confess their sins, to get things right. I mean, to make sure they were ready for Sunday. They had a service on Saturday to make sure they were ready for the service on Sunday. So it's important. One thing that also that tells you is what we do on Saturday is kind of significant and plays in to how well we worship on Sunday oftentimes. So we have to keep that in mind as well. But let me mention several preparation ideas. First, spend some time in the Scriptures. One of the main reasons that we provide a prayer sheet each week is to help you prepare for Sunday. Most of the time, the scripture passage that we're going to be talking about, that the sermon is going to be focused on, will be listed there. And that's to help you prepare for the Lord's Day. I would encourage you to read that passage of Scripture, to think about it, asking the Lord what it means. So that's one of the simple things I think you can do to prepare for the Lord's Day is spend some time looking at the scriptures, especially those that are connected with the service, the worship we're going to have. Number two, spend some time praying for yourself and the gathering of your church. I mean, once again, the prayer sheet is going to give you help with this. I mean, it's going to remind you of things that we are going to be praying for in the service on Sunday. By the way, I didn't include singing here as a way to prepare, but there's also usually a couple songs that we're going to be including in our worship that's on the sheet as well. You might want to consider those. I know I always sing one of those with Micah before he goes to bed on Saturday night. But pray for the people who are teaching the Sunday school classes, especially if they're teaching your children. Pray for the teachers. Pray for those who will be leading the singing aspect of our worship. I would very much appreciate your prayers for me. Pray for our fellowship with one another. Pray that we'd be sensitive to each other's needs while we were here. Pray that we'd be welcoming to those who visit. I mean, there's any number of things that we can pray as far as the church as a whole. One of the resources that I use to help in prayer in general is this book. Some of you probably have it by Matthew Henry called A Way to Pray. And one of the sections he has here is prayers for special occasions. And within the prayers for special occasions, he has prayers for Saturday evening, prayers for Sunday morning, and prayers for the actual worship service. Here's a prayer for the evening. He says, on the evening before the Lord's Day, prepare yourself through prayer. Let me just read one of you. You've got a couple different things here, a couple different paragraphs. Let me read one paragraph. Though the sun will rise tomorrow in the same way it does on every other day of the week, let us remember that tomorrow is the Sabbath of the Lord. Help us to recognize that it's a high day, blessed, holy, and honorable to you. Give us an abundance of grace to sanctify the day even as you have sanctified it from creation. Do wonders among us tomorrow. Enable us to set our minds on a proper work of preparation since the Sabbath is now drawing near. So a prayer of anticipating the Sabbath day the next day. And then here's a prayer for Lord's Day morning. Again, he's got several paragraphs. Here's one of the paragraphs. May we be in the Spirit on the Lord's Day. May we call the Sabbath a delight as we honor the Son of Man who is the Lord of the Sabbath. Let us not go our own ways, seeking our own pleasure, or speaking our own words throughout this day. All his prayers, he has scriptures at the end of where he's taken these things from. So this is just some ideas. We need to prepare for the Lord's Day with prayer. Third, spend some time thanking the Lord for his creation. We should do this because the commandment goes back to God creating the heavens and the earth. So meditating on God's glorious work of creating and providentially maintaining, upholding creation is an important part of keeping the Sabbath day holy. Again, I'm going to read another example here from Matthew Henry. He has a number of prayers related to this in particular. I'll read one of the paragraphs. He says, our help is in the name of the Lord who made heaven and earth. We come together to give glory to the great I am, the covenant Lord who in 6 days made heaven and earth, the sea and everything in them. You rested the seventh day after you had completed your work of creation. Therefore, you have blessed this Sabbath day and made it holy. Let us be your new creation, your own workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for doing good works. As the Creator God, you commanded light to shine out of the darkness on the first day of the week. Now shine in our hearts on this first day of the week. Give us the light of the knowledge of the glory of God as it radiates from the face of Jesus Christ. And again, he's got other examples as well. So spend some time yourself just in thanking the Lord for creation. That's a part of preparing for and even observing the Sabbath day. Number four, spend some time in considering the salvation accomplished by Christ. We talked last week about how the Lord's work in delivering us from sin and salvation is an important aspect of the Lord's day. And of course, the very reason that we worship on Sunday is tied to the resurrection of our Savior. So even though it's important to think about creation, it's even more important to focus on salvation on the day of on Sunday. Remember, for example, remember that the Son of God actually died. The Son of God died. Even more than that, remember he died for sinners who were his enemies. And even more than that, remember that he died as a sinner. Scripture says he was made to be sin for us. Remember that Christ laid down his life willingly. Remember that our Savior is a resurrected Savior. Remember that our Savior has been seated at the right hand of the Father with authority over all. Remember that it's Christ who, by the work of the Holy Spirit, who applied that salvation to us by his grace. And remember that salvation is an evidence that the triune God loves us with an everlasting and steadfast love. I mean, just keep the Lord's Day by remembering, calling to mind the specifics of what Christ accomplished for us in salvation. Number five, spend some time in applying the word taught, preached, and sung to your life. There are many warnings in Scripture, probably more than you realize, warnings about being hearers of the word and not doers. Jesus has pointed this out often. He's oftentimes talking about he who has ears to hear and rebuking those who do not have ears to hear. So this is a serious issue. And we need to take warnings really for what they are, warnings. And sometimes those of us who have been Christians the longest may be in most need of thinking about the warning, because when it's your habit, and it's a good habit, but when it's your habit of coming to church regularly, you know, you're in Bible study classes, you're singing songs, a lot of the songs you know by heart, and you're reading scriptures, you're hearing prayers, being a part of prayers being prayed, scriptures being read. You know how we can just go through the motions and just not really engage with what's going on there. And so one of the reminders that fits here with keeping the Sabbath day holy is remembering what the second and third commandments said. For example, the third commandment says, don't take the name of the Lord your God in vain. Don't use it lightly. Think about what you're saying when you speak of the Lord's name. Second commandment, worship the Lord in spirit and in truth. I mean, be engaged as you worship. So those things tie in. We also want to be careful about actually seeking to apply the truths that the Scriptures say. I mean, that's one of the things I think can be helpful about having sermon notes, is that you can look at them later in the day or maybe later in the week and think about application and so forth. So it's important to make application on the Sabbath day. I mean, if we're going to keep it holy, that includes having ears to hear what the Word of God is saying to us as we worship. Now, one final aspect of keeping this Lord's Day that I want to mention. The Lord's Day is a time for works of ministry as a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ, works of ministry. We gave one example, but a great many of Jesus' works of healing were done on the Sabbath. A lot of them were done on the Sabbath. And the Pharisees, of course, were always challenging him on this. They felt like he was breaking the Sabbath whenever he would heal someone on the Sabbath. Well, Jesus rebukes them for that. I mean, it's nothing new for them to misunderstand one of the commandments. They misunderstood all the commandments. And they also misunderstood keeping the Sabbath day holy. So of course, Jesus was saying, of course it's right to do good to your fellow man on the Sabbath. It's a day that being a servant to others really has a place to include that. Putting forth effort to serve others does not break the command to rest or the command to worship. It actually is a way of keeping the Sabbath day. So the fourth commandment still applies to us. Going back to what we said at the beginning, it's God's law. It is God's law. And we should feel the weight of that. It's a responsibility. But it's also the day that the Lord has given to us as a day of great blessing. But the blessing will not be ours if we do not keep the Sabbath day holy. And we won't keep the Christian Sabbath holy if we don't prepare to do that. I've used this quote for years, and I probably couldn't find it again if I had to. But William Smith, I ran across this a number of years ago. I love what he says here. He says, the world ought to notice that this is one of the many ways in which Christians are different. They reserve a day for God, and they enjoy it. Lord, we want to thank you for your word. I thank you for your law, which tells us what is right. But I also thank you that it tells us what is best and what is the most blessed way to live. Lord, I thank you for the work you've done in us as Christians in Christ. All of us have fallen short of keeping your commandment, this one as well as the others. Every one of us, as I look through this, I think of so many ways that I have not lived up to what you require us to keep the Christian Sabbath as a day to the Lord. We all have that. I know we do. Lord, thank you that you forgive us of our sin. And I thank you, Lord Jesus Christ, that you are the one who obeyed this law as you did all the others in a perfect way. And because of your perfect obedience and because of our faith in you, we stand before you as people who are righteous in how we keep the Sabbath day in Christ. But Lord, we know as far as our actual life, we all need to grow. So we ask for your help, Lord, as we think about ways that we need to apply this in our own lives. So we ask for your help. And I ask for each of us, yes, that we would see it as a duty, but I ask that we would especially see it as a blessing, and that you would grant blessing even today for those who are able to be here and be a part of our service. And I just ask that you would bless us in our fellowship and just every aspect of our worship. If you're one who's never put your faith in Jesus Christ, this law, among all the rest of them, along with all the rest of them, points out you did not measure up. You don't measure up to what God requires. And what that says is you deserve condemnation for that, eternal condemnation even. But thank the Lord, he's provided a way out, and that way out is Jesus Christ. So I would invite you to receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. A prayer like this will be a way to start. Lord, I realize I have sinned, and one of the ways I have sinned is I have not kept the Sabbath day holy like your law requires. That's sin, and I admit that. But I want to thank you that Jesus Christ died on the cross and paid the price for my sin. And I want to receive him as my Savior. I want to commit my life to him as the Lord of my life. If you want to talk in more detail about what's involved in having Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you can make a note on your tear-off, and we can do that at a later time. This morning we're going to take the Lord's Supper together. And one of the things that we need to do in preparing to take the Lord's Supper together is to ask the Lord to search our hearts and see if there's anything in us that we need to confess before him, even now, before we take the Lord's Supper together as Christians. So let's just take a few moments. Lord, I ask that you would show us if there's anything we need to confess to you as sin before we take the Lord's Supper together. Lord, I thank you for your promise that you tell us that if we confess our sins, that you are faithful and you are just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from every bit of unrighteousness. It's in the name of Christ that we pray. Amen. Let me ask the men that I spoke with earlier about helping with communion, if you could come.